This episode of the MedTalk podcast is brought to you by MedTech Innovation Expo, the UK and Ireland's leading event for medical device manufacturing. Save the date for MedTech Innovation Expo 2024, taking place on the 5th and 6th of June at the NEC in Birmingham. For more information, please visit www.medtechexpo.com. Hello, and welcome to this Talking Regs episode of the MedTalk podcast, where we have a conversation about the regulatory landscape in the medical device and pharmaceutical sector, and get some expert thoughts on the current state of affairs. I'm Ian Bolland, your host and the Group Content Manager for MedTech Innovation and Medical Plastics News. And today I am delighted to be joined by Fiona Maney from MediData, as we delve into her thoughts on new regulations, in particular surrounding clinical trials, and the recently implemented European Union AI Act. So first, Fiona, thank you very much for joining us on the MedTalk podcast. You are known to our audience who've listened to you on the panel show, which we did at MedTech Innovation Expo, but for just give them a little bit of a reminder about yourselves and if you can tell them a little bit about MediData.
Of course, and thank you, Ian, for this opportunity to speak with you today. I mean, I've had a great time on your panels in the past few years discussing about all things regulations within the medical device and pharmaceutical areas. So thank you. Yes, my name is Fiona Maney. I'm a senior director within the Global Compliance and Strategy Group at MediData. And what that means is we look after kind of, you know, evolving regulations and how it impacts our business and that of our clients. But also we look after, you know, the quality management system that also underpins the systems that we leverage. And who is MediData? MediData hosts, I think it's about 30,000 clinical trials now within our database worldwide. Very significant player across, pharma and medical devices, running and hosting trials within our systems. We have platform systems, etc. I think we have about 9 million patients and over a million users within our system. So we are essentially looking to, I guess, scale even more and, look forward to the future. And actually, we have been very much on top of the, the evolving regulatory environment. And that's part of what I do in my everyday life.
Well, I think we'll start with the evolving regulatory environment then, as the theme of this little series that we've got is called Talking Regs. So let me start with the piece that you've actually submitted to us, which listeners will be able to read across a couple of our websites probably when this goes live, because within it you talk about the relationship between regulation and technology, and I'm curious to know, as previously, how has regulation kept pace with technology, and given that AI is becoming an increasing factor within the medical device space and also the pharma space, do you anticipate it being any different with AI? Is regulation going to struggle to keep up, or is it, or regulators managing to keep pace?
Yeah, so I think typically, and in the piece that you're talking about, we talk about the pacing problem. So science and innovation are literally going at a very fast pace in our world. And sometimes the regulators are catching up, putting it down regulatory frameworks, because things need to be regulated to some degree. So I think if you look at, you know, some of the history, we've got ICH GCPR3, which actually the majority of those requirements have come from the 90s, and simultaneously that of EU MD, that of the medical device regulations and IVD etc. But yes, typically some of the regulations that we work to today are coming from the 90s. And if we think about, you know, how we've advanced so much within science and technology, if you think about, you know, the internet only became public within, you know, mid-90s, and smartphones, you know, started to come, and how we use technology today. So even with ICH, I know it's the pharmaceutical GCP regulation or the guidelines, you know, they are renovating it and modernizing it today. And obviously we know also how long it's taken for the, you know, medical device and in vitro diagnostics to come into force as well. And, you know, that's, that implementation has been quite a lengthy process. So I think, and maybe to your second question, I think it was around AI.
It was whether you anticipate it being any different with AI. Is it going to be more of a challenge with the advent of AI, given that it seems to be taking hold of quite a lot of industries quickly, not just the medical device and pharma sector, but and then you've obviously referred to regulation needing to keep pace with technology. Is AI going to become a problem, or do you have confidence that, you know, there's the sufficient grounding almost in this particular sector that they can keep pace and regulate AI properly?
Yeah. So obviously AI has been around since the 50s, but I think talking about real use cases and use in industry has really catapulted, you know, in the last decade or so, I think. And there's been a lot of activity from the regulatory side and from the kind of national strategical side. So, for example, you know, the EU brought about their, you know, a digital strategy which included AI a number of years back. And I've been part of the EU AI Alliance back from 2018, which has actually been looking systematically at across industries how we're going to use AI. And actually then how we embed ethics and trustworthy AI within the things that within, I guess, the use cases and the everyday use of AI. So it's been an absolute evolution, particularly, I think, in the last, you know, decade. Mm-hmm. What we're seeing now is, I guess, the, you know, the new EU AI Act that's coming in, which is called, you know, the first ever comprehensive legal framework on artificial intelligence worldwide. And it is highly complex. It's not just a scientific and technical, but it you know, this is what I guess makes some of these regulations slow to adopt. Is it's not just one moving part, but it's multifaceted, multifaceted, and including lots of other regulations like GDPR, privacy, etc. And you know, so for us within, I guess, the pharmaceutical medical device sector, we need to think about all of those things. But I do think that to your question is that we are, I think in general, we are seeing things being more efficient and regulations coming out a bit faster than perhaps they may have been. But I do think also for example, for Europe, it's way more complicated, you know, with a lot, you know, with the, you know, different member states, etc. You know, cultural differences and data protection differences within sovereign countries, etc. So it is a little bit more, it is complicated, like the GDPR when we tried to implement, or when, you know, Europe tried to implement that.
It does feel as if, though, that certainly in Europe, that you hear murmurings about new regulations coming forward first. This is just from my perspective, from reading through various articles and trying to take any political heat out of it, just reading it at face value. But I think you might have alluded as to why that is, because they got to consult so many member states, and obviously that takes time. But do you feel like they've got ahead of the curve in their attempts to regulate AI? Because you've mentioned within your piece that there has been a modernization of regulatory frameworks that's been quite impressive. And I was wondering if you would categorize the AI Act as such an example.
So, I mean, as I said earlier, like, I think, you know, the EU AI Act, for example, is the first ever comprehensive legal framework on artificial intelligence. And so what they have done is they based, I guess, their foundations firstly on ethics and trustworthiness. And Europe is seen as kind of an example to take things forward with a very good foundational basis of ethics and trustworthiness. Not that others aren't doing that, but it's like now they're laying it down as a kind of legal framework.
I find the words ethical and trustworthy really fascinating, because I think people have their own different interpretations as to what can constitute ethical and trustworthy in any walk of life. So could you give us a brief outline as to what can constitute ethical and trustworthy AI?
Yeah, so as I'd mentioned, I was very much involved with the EU AI Alliance and other alliances, but around AI. And how they described it was, according to, I guess, general guidelines, trustworthy AI should be lawful, so respecting all applicable laws and regulations, ethical, respecting all ethical principles and values, and robust. So also from a technical perspective, you know, taking into account the social environment. And the ethical issues within artificial intelligence and healthcare really revolve around, you know, privacy, surveillance, bias and discrimination, as well as the role of human judgment. So I guess those were the, I guess, key themes that have been discussed at length. And actually what you can actually see those common themes within, if you look at other kind of country strategies, those seem to be common themes around the world. Also, the EU guidelines did put down a set of 7 key requirements that AI systems should meet, and, you know, around human agency and oversight. Again, technical robustness and safety. So really safety being, you know, paramount always. And again, privacy and data governance, these are foundational. So this is where, you know, for example, GDPR is foundational for, you know, for the European Union, and also, well, actually any country, but, you know, but this is what the EU guidelines are laying down. And then transparency, you know, being, you know, transparent about the data, the system, the business models, traceability mechanisms. And this is why also it's kind of difficult to know how to, you know, in many ways, how do you, you know, inspect and, you know, inspect those algorithms. Again, diversity, non-discrimination and fairness. And I think diversity is a massive topic at the moment across both pharma and med devices, because there's big new changes coming in, or not necessarily new changes, but changes that have been talked about for a long time, but now have been mandated by, for example, the FDORA Act, where we actually, both pharmaceutical and medical device companies have to provide diversity action plans to show how they are providing diverse trials, etc. But in general, yeah, also diversity, non-discrimination and fairness is an important facet, and societal and environmental well-being and accountability. So there are lots of different facets to trustworthy and ethical AI. there's a really good document on, for example, the EU Commission's website, which talks about that, but also on the MHRA's website and others as well. I think what you do see across all of the different regulators are very much these common themes, etc. So yeah, those are some of the, I guess, facets of trustworthy and ethical AI.
I think we'll have to put one or two of those documents in the show notes so we can give our listeners a bit further reading on that, because it sounds like you covered a lot of ground in itself, but it sounds like given the further reading on it, there's tons and tons to be, you know, to read on.
The other thing I want to add, actually, Ian, is building upon when that trustworthy and ethical AI document came out, there was also another one on assessment of AI systems. So it basically gave all of the different controls and the different areas against those three requirements that if you're if you're in the world of AI and you're, you know, developing AI systems, these are the controls that actually it's thought to be very important to consider. And that document, I think, is very important for developers of AI solutions. And I can also send you that link as well.
Yeah, that'd be great. I just want to go back a little bit, because when you were talking about the development of the EU AI Act, it felt like there was plenty of things to consider, including how the Act sort of relates to other piece of legislation developed by the European Union, but also having to be careful not to go into some kind of overreach into a different area. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong in that, but how does an organisation go about threading that particular needle that it almost sits perfectly in between all the other rafts of legislation that there are?
I think what is really nice, Ian, is the fact that actually, as I'd mentioned, that if you look at all of the different kind of, so what happens is there's normally a government strategy within all of the different regions or areas and countries. But actually, they all have very similar strategies, and they're very, the themes are common. And I think because the EU have been, you know, almost first out the blocks with the kind of EU ethics and trustworthiness documentation, I think there's a lot of, I guess, other countries looking at that, and I think they're all aligning. I think that's what I'd love to see, is if, you know, regions can align on the thinking and actually have common methodologies, etc., and common thinking. And I think that's what I can see is absolutely happening here. Not sure what you see, but.
I mean, it also makes it easier for tech developers as well if there's alignment across the board, across different regions, because that way they how can I put this? How can I word this properly and sound like I know what I'm talking about? So, for example, if one jurisdiction is different from another, but they've basically got harmony, there's not much of a change when it comes to submitting technical documentation, for example. And that's a real burden that's relieved on them.
So I think what is refreshing is there's a number of big initiatives going on. There's some big initiatives within also WHO, within the World Health Organization, but also in the past there's been, but also probably now, I'm not up to speed, but there's been best practices on machine learning between MHRA, between Health Canada and FDA, and I think it was Swiss Medic as well. So this is what I think we want to see as an industry, is, you know, harmonization globally across all of these things, because actually trying to kind of do one thing in one area and another thing in another area, and, you know, if we can all be harmonized, that would be such a massive step forward. But I do see it happening Ian, more than I have ever before. So, I mean, obviously, been in this industry for 25 years, and I think in our document, you know, where we say, you know, we're seeing more activity than ever before. It's very, very true. I think sometimes some of the regulations have been very slow to come, but I think that the regulators are collaborating, aligning, also bringing industry into the conversations a lot as well, industry and other stakeholders. So, I mean, I've been party to the ACT EU initiative, which is part of the EMA's initiative accelerating clinical trials, which looks at, you know, how to accelerate clinical trials, but it's also got quite a big component around, you know, international collaboration. And I think across the board, international collaboration and aligning on some of these things, because it's, you know, AI is happening to everybody in the world. So let's align. It's almost like let's align on, you know, common thinking. And I think I see it happening, but it could be better.
Yeah, it, from what you've touched upon there, alignment equals common sense. I would actually like to come to a couple of points that I think you've touched upon. So apologies if we go over all ground a little bit. There's just a couple of areas that I like to flesh out, probably more from my understanding than the listeners. I'm sure the listeners are probably even are more educated on this than I am. But still, a couple of things I want to touch upon before I let you go. And number one is I'll make number one and number two. Number one, we'll come on to the fact that you've sat on our panel a couple of times at MedTech Innovation Expo, and we've spoken about the UK regulatory environment. Obviously, since Brexit, it's been anticipated that it's going to be a different environment for the UK medical device industry. We talked a lot about alignment then, and you've talked about the MHRA's involvement in certain exercises with other regulatory bodies. But I'm wondering how you think the UK is handling its transition to a new regulatory system, and do you think that industry and individuals are clear on what it is exactly, in your view?
That's a tough question. I mean, I think I think that I think it's been a very, very challenging few years for our regulator, not only with leaving the EU and having to, you know, change things. Obviously, there's an opportunity there with that to adapt and change to a degree. But also, you know, COVID, you know, our regulatory authority were, you know, outstanding, and the whole ecosystem outstanding, along with the NHS. And that whole ecosystem were absolutely amazing. And I just think it's been a very challenging time. And I think also there's been a lot of organisational change, and the authorities are definitely on a roll now. So and they were already, but I think it's almost like they've had a bit of a challenging time. I'm looking forward to very much support them going forward, and also, you know, support in terms of public consultation, industry consultation, and it's a difficult question, Ian. Sorry, and I don't know what you think about it, because it's been challenging, I think, the last few years. But I think that, you know, our authority is always very bold and innovative, and they'll come through. And
I didn't mean to put you on the spot there, but yeah, like you said, it's an incredibly difficult question to answer. But I think that it is an answer that people want from those that are basically in charge of the regulatory environment. I mean, who knows what's going to come out of this, especially in an election year where the plans might be up in the air again. Who knows? But I think you mentioned COVID, and one of the things that was affected by COVID was the implementation of the medical device regulation from the EU
and IVDR. And obviously, they were a mitigation for the speed of implementation. But I'm curious to get your thoughts on, could it have been done better? I mean, I'm sure that in retrospect, people will find things that could have been done better, but it's probably really hard to actually assess, you know, in the heat of the moment.
Yeah, so I thought about this question. It was an enormous task, I think, that I guess the EU MDR and IVDR, it's been talked about, I guess, for over a decade now, and obviously implemented back in, I think the regulation was enforced back in 2017, and we're still implementing. Looking back, I think we maybe took too much on in one big go, you know. Maybe we should have done it in a bite-sized kind of phased approach. I think if you look at the industry, especially some of the bigger medical device companies, they're quite siloed. There's been a lot of acquisitions, and actually trying to find data and actually pulling that data together. I do think that it might have been better, but you know, everything's good in hindsight. I do think bite-sized pieces. Okay, let's do this bit first, and let's pull all this to get data together. I think it was a big ask on industry, and I'm not sure how much industry probably. I'm not sure how much industry was consulted right at the beginning when they were first talking about it, because actually, consulting with industry feels to me like it's been, more something in the last 5 to 8 years, where there's been a bit more of an open door policy. So I don't know, I'm being very open here.
I think an open answer is probably what a lot of people would expect, because I think you actually touched upon a couple of things there that in terms of the open door policy, it feels like that there may have been a lesson learned along the way in terms of any time that the regulations need to evolve and there's a new technological breakthrough, there needs to be a lot more consultation along the way. That seems to have been the yeah. case when it comes to, from what you've said about the AI Act, because you've mentioned in your piece that regulators need a good grounding in technology in the first place. And for that reason, it feels like it makes sense for the industry to be on board with whatever's being implemented.
And I think that actually we have a, like I said, with the AI Act, that sorry, not the the Act EU. Sorry, there's too much going on. Act EU, which is accelerating clinical trials in the EU. They're including like industry, patient groups, academia, etc. So everybody's included in actually helping to define the way forward. And I'm not sure that happened way back when, for example, EU MDR was being developed, maybe to a lesser degree. And I do think maybe thinking forward, making sure that people, different stakeholders involved are included across the different actors and economic actors, maybe doing it in a more phased approach where it's more manageable, because actually some of the things, I guess, some of the activities that I guess industry had to do was difficult, because I think what we heard was, well, either we meet the EU MDR or we innovate. So it's like, okay, well, we don't innovate. So, that's stifling innovation to a degree. So they're having to, I think that's what some of the comments that were coming back to us, innovation or meeting the regs, and you have to meet the regs clearly. So
It strikes me that when you're actually developing something where regulation is, it's probably one of the most black and white things that you can actually come across. Things have to be rigid and written down. These are rules that you have to abide by. And it's probably really difficult to get into that mindset of flexibility. And I'm not having a go at anyone's been, I'm going to put it, involved in the development and regulations. It just feels like that as a human being, it's probably really hard to change mindset and, you know, change tack when you're probably, you feel like you're so in deep with something. I mean, I might be talking bubbles there, but I'm not sure if you've got any thoughts of what I've said there.
I think if you're a startup and you're taking on like EU MDR now, I mean, that's probably okay. But if you're kind of a company that's been, you know, in the long term, like kind of following these regulations and everything's changing,